Catherine Teagan Books and Harper Audio present Muse by Brittany Cavallaro, performed by Julia Whalen. In the dusk of the evening, as I stroked Machak's back, I saw a miracle which made me speechless with amazement. Machak's back was a sheet of light, and my hand produced a shower of crackling sparks loud enough to be heard all over the house. My mother seemed charmed. "Stop playing with the cat," she said. "He might start a fire." But I was thinking abstractly. Is nature a gigantic cat? If so, who strokes its back? I cannot exaggerate the effect of this marvelous night on my childish imagination. Day after day, I have asked myself, what is electricity? Nikola Tesla. You who have existed to resist me as I made you up. Stephen Dunn. Loves. Preamble. May 1782. He had heard the rumors for weeks before the letter reached Mount Vernon, but when it finally arrived, he found himself unprepared to answer. The envelope sat on his desk where he'd left it, leaning against a tallow candle. It was before dawn, perhaps 4 or 5 in the morning, and he'd passed an uneasy night considering the implications. He was so seldom home in Virginia, and at first he allowed himself to think that was the reason for his restlessness. At the presidential mansion in Philadelphia, he was often woken up by little sputterings of noise, a carriage rattling down the brick road, a tomcat howling at the night sky. At Mount Vernon, all was quiet, like a heavy blanket over the mouth. And now he was awake. He made his customary rounds, lighting the fire, quickly bathing, buttoning his shirt as daylight stole in. The letter slept on his desk. Before he turned to face it, he took a breath and considered the fields outside his window. He had left this place when the country had been founded. He had hired workers to tend his fields while he went north to tend to his country instead. But he was here now, overseeing the last of spring planting. Well, looking in on the planting, at least. Virginia didn't need him anymore. He didn't miss it, Virginia, not in the way he thought he should. Instead, it stole over him in strange moments. Midnight, ink-stained, reworking a letter with Monroe's notes in mind, and suddenly he was 14 again, copying out the rules of civility and decent behavior, his quill nib leaking all over his palms. Mount Vernon's spring breathing in through the window. A cockerel crowed outside, and he knew he must open the envelope. He had to do it now, before his household was awake. But first, he let himself do the thing he'd been avoiding. He let himself imagine what it might say. One thing he knew for certain, the American army was afraid. They had just won a decisive battle against the British and the French, and they were justifiably proud, and now they were afraid, because soldiers who were paid only through the goodwill of individual states, and not through, say, taxes imposed by Congress, were soldiers who didn't rightly know where their next meal came from. They were soldiers who didn't believe in their Congress, in any Congress at all. And say that, rather than passing laws to pay the army, Congress refused. Say that perhaps those generals who were tired of waiting met one night under cover of darkness. That they each swore an oath to secrecy before beginning to speak. Together, they would write their president a letter. They would remind him how their country loved him, how a benevolent monarchy had ruled Britain well and for years. Why shouldn't America improve on their idea? Why, they could even imagine a country without something as inconvenient as a parliament, or, say, a Congress. What was the purpose of elected officials? None that they could see. Only partisanship, infighting, disunity. He was reading the letter now. He had it in his shaking hands, and though he wanted to throw it in the fire,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?